saw last week the decrees enacted by Antiochus towards the Jewish citizenry in Judea. And the purpose of the decrees was really to, in his mind, in Antiochus' mind, he felt that he was being threatened by the people that kept the Torah. Because since his allies in Judea were these Hellenized Jews led by the Tobias clan, with Menelaus, the Kohen Gadol, and others, and therefore they were opposed by the Jews keeping the Torah. And therefore Antiochus felt the only way in order to strengthen his hold in Judea was by eradicating the unifying force of these people that opposed him. And that's why he enacted all these decrees against Judaism, against Yiddishkeit. And we saw last week in great detail how all these various decrees really affected their daily lives. He wanted to completely take over and disrupt their daily lives, and whether it was their businesses and their using their animals, their oxen and the animals to plow, and he would make them put on bumper stickers, "Ein lanu chelek b'elokei Yisrael," and then the Jews, we saw, stopped basically plowing the fields and stopped using their animals, their oxen and their sheep and their goats. Or whether it was in all the matters, that they couldn't get married and they couldn't go to the mikveh, and all keeping Shabbos and Yontif and Mila, and all these things were enacted, all these various decrees, and every single one of their decrees was punishable by death. And basically, we saw in Sefer Chashmonaim that they had Greek soldiers stationed throughout the country, and anybody caught keeping the Shabbos or learning Torah or performing a bris milah, not only that, but any baby that was found to have a bris milah, they would kill the children with the mothers. It was a terrible time, and they enacted their decrees and they followed up on it with killing those that were found to be keeping the Torah in the mitzvahs. The problem with Antiochus is that he underestimated the power of the Jewish people. He thought that the upper crust of society, the Hellenized Jews, they were, he understood they were not the majority, but he thought that they were the stronghold of the Jewish people, since they were the upper crust and they were aristocrats and they were the wealthy. So he thought if he's going to go with them and they're with him, all right, the Jews, you know, the hoi polloi, the farmers, the ones keeping the Torah, if we can eradicate that, at the end of the day, everybody will come around and follow the Hellenized Jews. He did not dream that the regular people, the Jewish people, they would keep so strongly to the Torah. And they were Maisa Nefesh. And we find throughout the various books of that time that the Jews refused to give in. And the Jews refused to give up on the Torah and the Yiddishkeit. And they were Maisa Nefesh. They literally sacrificed themselves en masse for their Torah. He grossly underestimated the strength of the Jewish people. Yes. Yeah, but here the bigger ones, they had the power and they were not giving up anything.
No, they gave in to Antiochus.
Who gave in to Antiochus?
The bigger ones.
What did they give in? Yeah, they went together with Antiochus.
That's what I'm
saying. But we saw.
The person to give in.
But they, no, we saw, we explained last week, it wasn't that they give in. They didn't give in. They wanted it. They wanted their power and they egged on Antiochus to pass these laws. So they were in his camp no matter what. He enacted those decrees in order to strengthen his hold with these people. He underestimated the Hamoinam. He thought the Hamoinam, you know, the wishy-washy, the poor people that just follow along, they won't have a choice. And he underestimated that the thousands, the tens of thousands of Jews living in the countryside, you know, all these Jews, they were Moshe Nefesh, and they wouldn't give up their Yiddishkeit, they wouldn't give up the Torah. And the reason to that, of course, is because don't forget, the first 150 years of Bayis Sheni, it was almost a theocracy. It was a society which was built on Torah, it was built with the Sanhedrin, it was built by Ezra and Nehemiah. So it became so much part and parcel of their lives, they couldn't give up with it, they couldn't just let go of it. And that's where the opposition was met. And if we see, number one on the sheet, first of all, the halacha says like this, Omer Rabbi Yochanan Mishum Mishim Bayi Tzadok, Nimnu V'gomu Baliyas Beis Nitzah Belud, Kol Averes Shebetoyre, all the Averes in the Torah, Omer Nodem Avor Val Taharek, if they tell a person, under the duty of Averis and don't kill yourself, Yava Val Yorek, then Yimuchuyev, it says Yimuchuyev to transgress these Averis and don't sacrifice your life. Besides the three cardinal sins of idol worship, gilu reis and shvichas damim. That's only when it's not a time when they want to forcibly change, wipe out Yiddishkeit, when it's a time of Shmad. But in a time of Shmad, even a simple basic mitzvah, which is not one of the three cardinal sins, one must sacrifice his life for these mitzvahs. The Rambam says it very clearly in Hilchos Yesod HaTorah, v'chol hadvarim elu, sh'loi b'shas ha'gzeira. Aval b'shas ha'gzeira, at a time of gzeira, and he brings, v'ushi yamoid melech rosha k'nebuchadnetzar, I don't know why he brings nebuchadnetzar, v'chaveira v'ubi antiochus, v'yigzog gzeira l'Yisrael levatol dosom, a mitzvah min ha'mitzvahs, if he just puts out a decree.
Did he want him to do something very small at the beginning?
Nebuchadnetzar? What did Nebuchadnetzar want to do? Yeah, his thing was to bite onto the idol, but that was a big thing. Nebuchadnetzar? Yeah. Antiochus. I don't know what the Rama means when he says Nebuchadnetzar v'chaverov. Maybe he means v'chaverov, all the other kings that came afterwards. Nebuchadnetzar was the first, and all the other kings that came afterwards. But Yarek v'aliyava fil achas m'sha'a mitzvahs, then such an avera, one should kill himself, sacrifice a life, and don't transgress the mitzvah, beinenas b'tei chasorah, beinenas b'ino lebeina avarikovim, whether it's in public or even in private, if the guy wants you to give up your any part of your Yiddishkeit, even a mitzvah like Shabbos, which you know this pikuach nefesh is doiche Shabbos, and it's more important, but not in a time of Shemad. And the Jews literally sacrificed their lives en masse. Now we don't have recorded stories of how they sacrifice themselves on mass. We have a few snippets. I'll show you today three separate stories that they sacrifice themselves, and that's just a sign of what took place at that time. Just, you know, one example that we have in Chazal. But there were probably hundreds and thousands of those cases, because that is what the revolt of the Chashmonaim was all about. It was all about because people were literally sacrificing themselves, nobody took up the arms, and terror was being eradicated, the Chashmonaim came along. It wasn't, though, people tend to think that the Greeks took over, and the entire country became Hellenized, and the Chashmonaim said, no, we have to fight for independence, political independence, or whatever it is. No, that wasn't what happened. They made these decrees, and people sacrificed themselves. And people were literally being butchered and killed because they kept the Yiddishkeit. And that's why the Chashmonaim got up and said, you know, we're losing our people, and our Yiddishkeit is being destroyed. We have to do something. That's really what took place. If you look at the three stories which I chose, one in Sefer Chashmonaim, one is in the Medrash and Eicha, and one is in Josephus and Sefer Yusfin. Which is in Josephus. So let's start number two on the sheet. Sefer Chashmonaim. Ish Novin v'yedea Sefer Hoy v'Yisrael. There was a wise man, a Talmud Chacham, that was in Yisrael. This is from Sefer Chashmonaim, which was written at that time period. V'hu Zaken, an old man, Bova Yomim v'fei Mare, you know, well distinguished looking man, Ushmoy Elazar, his name was Elazar. V'yiftichu espiv b'chozko, and they tried to open his mouth forcefully, l'hachileu b'sar chazir, in order to give him pig, chazir, to eat. V'yoke oise le'ineam, and he refused, he threw it out, or he refused to open his mouth in front of their eyes. So they told him, you know, all we want is to eat non-kosher meat. Now, the halacha is, if they try and kill you, to eat non-kosher meat, why should you get killed? But this was B'Sha'as HaShemad. What was that? Of course, this was Antiochus' people that They probably underestimated. They didn't think that the Jews were going to do that. They said they wanted to break. No, they weren't interested in killing the Jews. They wanted to break this unifying force of terror, because they realized that terror is what unites the masses against their foothold, right?
That's why they picked the mitzvahs that they wanted to eliminate.
That's right.
You have the Shabbos, Mila,
all the mitzvahs. All the mitzvahs.
That's
not
for the reason
they're not. Wasn't it Kashrus also? We see the big thing about kashrus. Right? Anything would define a Jew. Now look over here what it's saying in Pasuk Lamed Beis. So they tell him, okay, Hinei Novi Alecha Basatar. We'll give you kosher meat. Umimenu tochal. V'hoya kol re'echa yom. When everybody will see you, will say, ki b'psa akob and achalto, kasha tziva amelech. In other words, we'll sacrifice a swine, a pig, and we will give you kosher meat. Nobody will know the difference. Everybody will think it's non-kosher meat. The main thing is, everybody should see that you're eating non-kosher meat. So this old man, Elazar, says, ki la yoyeh, the next column, I'm not going to lie, an old man like me, I'm not going to lie. And what will the young people say? Look at the old man, Elazar, 90 years old. This is going to be such a lowering of the morale of the people to see Elazar, this great old Talmud Chacham, and he became an Oved Avodah Zarah. I refuse to do that. And then, and they tortured him. And he sighed, Vayayim, and he said, Hashem Elokim, Lechon Niglu Kol Talumois, everything is revealed for you. Atayideh, you know, Ki Yecholti Linotzul Machoy Ve'anushim Eilu. I could have prevented myself from being tortured. Ach B'nefesh Chafetz Ezbelem, I will accept them with a willing soul. L'man Shimcha Agadol, Vatei Tzivucha Vayomas, and he died. Vayi B'moysoy, and when he died, it was Moshol U'musor, L'na'av U'lezokeh, most important. It was a message and a lesson for young and old. L'av es Hashem U'lehoysoy, not to give up and to keep the Yiddishkeit. So he literally, so they took this old man and they tried to give him a piece of chazer, and he refused to, and he sacrificed his life so that people should see, no, we're keeping to our Yiddishkeit. This is grossly underestimating what the Jewish people were going to do. They didn't expect like this, thousands of Jews to follow him and to en masse for any mitzvah, just to hold on to the mitzvahs. That's what happened. If you look in Josephus, by the way, says, who was this Elazar? Very interesting. V'zeh Elazar Yoshish, who may ein bezekenim she'etiku ha'toyre letalmai melech Mitzrayim u'melech Yavam. This is one of the others say that the dates don't really fit, but Sefer Yuchzin also says it. This old man Elazar was one of the zekenim, one of the elders, one of the people that translated the Torah into Greek some 50 years earlier. In other words, right, that was in the time of Ptolemy. So he wasn't, this was an old, distinguished, he was handpicked, right, at that time by the Kohen Gadol, he was handpicked in order to go down and to translate the Torah into Greek. He was not going to eat chaz, and everybody should say, look, he was Eved Elilim, he sacrificed himself, or he gave up on Yiddishkeit. He was wanted to teach a lesson, l'na'u l'zokim. So that's one example. Another example, which is a famous story, by the way, which the Gemara says it in Gittin, and it's not clear from the Gemara, this story, when it actually took place. The Gemara in Gittin, the same Gemara in Eicha Rabba, the story with Miriam Bas Nachtum, Miriam with her seven sons. Now we seem to know it as a story of Chana with her seven sons. Now when did the story of Chana with the seven sons take place? Antiochstam. How do we know? The Gemara doesn't say that. You know why we know? Because in Sefer Chashmonaim, the entire story is said, read out, and but Eicha has even more details, like quoted from Eicha. But this story finds itself in the Gemara, in Eicha Rabbah, and it finds itself in Sefer Chashmonaim. So unless there were three such stories, probably it happened at this time. Sefer Chashmonaim says it happened in the time of Antiochus, right? It didn't happen with Antiochus. Probably happened with, Sefer Chashmonaim was written at that time period. Who was written by? Probably by one of the Maccabees. It was written at the time period, but again, we did not accept it because it was part of the Apocrypha. It was part of the books which were not part of the Tanakh. So originally it was written in Lashon Kodesh. We don't have the original Lashon Kodesh. We have it after it was translated to Greek, so they retranslated it back into Lashon Kodesh. So the language that we have, and you'll see in Sefer HaShemnoim, it's not the Hebrew from then, but it's a translation of the Greek, which was translated originally from Lashon Kodesh. Yes. Yeah, that's also Miguel Santiochus, yes. Same. Not the same as Sefer Chashmonaim.
No,
also from the Apocrypha, yeah. And Sefer Yehudis, right? The story with Yehudis, which also doesn't take place now. It takes place after the Hanukkah miracle with the milk and the cheese and all that. We're going to get to that. Also from that time period, always part of the Apocrypha. So let's read the story together. In Eicha Rabbah, which is this story. Maisa b'Miriam bas Nachtum shnishvah hiva shiva banel. This woman was captured with her seven sons, Nutlin Kesal, and the king, or the governor, could be it was the governor at that time, was Apollonius, who was the governor of Samaria at that time, and he was in charge of control in Judea at that time. So, Vinasan Legiv Min Shiva Kankalin. So he put this woman with the seven children, seven sons, into a jail with seven different compartments. So Avius HaRishon, he brought the first one, and he told him, Hishtachav Letzelem, bow down to this idol. Amalois, he said, Chas V'Shalom, the reason I bring it down in great detail, because you see how they, you know, what the little kids in that time, how they responded, and what their mind was with. Amalois, he said, Chas V'Shalom, Ein Mishtachav Letzelem, I refuse to bow down to the idol. Amalois, Lama, V'Bnei Shikach Sib B'Sarosenu, Amalois HaShem Lekecha, because it says in that Torah, I'm your God, and therefore I refuse to bow down to the idol. Miyad hoitzi of Hogre, they took him out and they killed him. Hoitzi Hashem, he took out the second one of Amaloi, Hishtachve Letzelem, bowed down to the idol. Amaloi Chatz V'Shalom, God forbid. Achilo Hishtachve, Vani Eini Mishtachve. My brother did not bow, so will I not bow down. Amaloi Lama, why not? Amaloi, he gave another pasuk. Shekach Sibetere, Lo Yelecha Elohim Acherim Alponai. The second pasuk, I refuse to do it. Miyad Gazalov Agu. And the Medrash goes on and on and on, how each of the six children, each one brought a different pasuk. They didn't just copy the other one, each one said, no, I came to for my conclusion, because you cannot bow down, because whatever pasuk they bring down. Hatzi Hashviyas, they brought down the seventh child, and they killed each of the six children. Hatzi Hashviyas, they took out the seventh. Vuha Yakatsha B'kulon, he was the youngest of them all. Amai said, B'ni Yishtach V'letzela, my son, bow down to the idol. Amalei Chas V'Shalom, God forbid. Amalei Lama, Amalei Shekin Ksib Zerozenu. It says in Apot Torah, V'yedata Ayoyim V'ashavoyis Alavecha, Ki Hashem Elokim V'ashamayim Ha'avoz B'doch Zeynoit. So, you have to come to the realization that God is the God of heavens and earth. How could I bow down to something else? I refuse to. V'loyoyid, and not only that, but Eloshinishbanu L'Elokeinu. We swore to our God at Hasinai, She'ein onu ma'mirin oise bekel acher. We will never replace him with another God. Shenema es Hashem emalta ayoim, that you told God today that he'll be your God. U'kishem shenishbanu loyim, just like we swore to him, kach nishbalonu, he swore to us, She'ein memreinu bumacheres. He'll never replace us with another nation. Shenema v'Hashem emir chayoim. So therefore, I refuse to give up my God, and he refused to do it. Amalei, so emperor, this king, or this governor told him, Achecha, Sovu Yomim v'Sovu Chaim v'Ra'u Toivo. Your brothers, they had life, they enjoyed life, and they had days, and they so good. Ato Kotan, you're a little child. Lo Yisavata Yomim v'Lo Yisavata Chaim v'Lo Yisa Toivo Olam. You didn't have a chance to enjoy life yet. Hishtachav Eletzelam v'Esa B'Cha Toivos. Bow down to the idol, and I'll give you all the good in the world. Amalei said, Ksibus HaSem, it says in our Torah, Hashem Yimloich Lo'olam Vo'ed. Va'imel, Hashem Melech Olam Ved of the Goy Malzoi. In other words, godless forever. Va'atem betelim va'ivav betelim. In other words, and you are gone today. You betelim. You don't last. Basav dom ayim chay lemosem eis hayim ashi lemochani. Avo kesbachu chay v'kaim lo'olam. In other words, you tell me I didn't live a full life yet. I'm only a young child. I didn't live a full life. What's the difference? Because Baruch Hu is forever, and you're not forever. So even whatever life I'm going to live, it's here today and gone tomorrow. What's the point? He's a big philosopher, this child. We're going to soon see how old this child was. Matin, how old he was at this time? We're going to soon see how old this child was. You know, he's giving us real philosophical things. I'm not going to buy that. When you tell me that I lived a short life, my God lives forever. Human being lives like this. What's the difference? You know, I heard a story from where I heard this from. I think from Chafetz Chaim or something. Okay, don't remember. Something about 50 years. Another 50 years. I have to remind myself. It may well say it on Shabbos. Okay. Amalei. So the king tells him, in number 4b, Amalei Kesa, Re'ei Ochecha, Rugim Lefanecha, look at your brothers, they're killed in front of you. Ve'reini Mashlich Tabati Lores Lefnei Hatzelem. All I'll do is I'll throw the ring into the ground in front of this idol, Vadbiyam, pick it up, the Yeshua calls Shabbat, let them at least know that you listen to me. You're not bowing down, but at least let it look like you're bowing down. Amalei, he told him, Chaval Alecha Keso, I feel bad for you, you king. If you are scared of people around you, you want to prove something to the people surrounding you, so I am scared of a Kadosh Baruch Hu. You're scared of the people around you, you want to make it look good that I'm listening to you for the people around you, so I'm going to be, for sure I'm scared of a Kadosh Baruch Hu, God forbid. Amalei, he asks him, V'chi yesh Eloka l'olam? Is there God in this world? So the king, the child answers back. Amalei tells him, Alalai Alecha Keser, I feel bad for you, king. V'chi olam shel hefker isi? What do you think this is, a olam of hefker? What do you mean, the whole world? Everything fits, the sun rises, the moon sets, everything, there's a whole world going on over here. You can't say it's just hefker. Amalei, so he asks him, is there a mouth to to your God? So the child answered him, Amalei Balakechem Ksiv Pelehem Veloida Beru. Your God has a mouth, but he doesn't speak. Uvelakeinu Ksiv, and by our God it says, Bidvar Hashem Shemayim Nasu, the mouth of our God, he was able to create the world. Amalei, he asked him, Chiyesh Anayim Lelakechem, does your God have eyes? Amalei, see again, he answers him, Balakechem Ksiv, by your God it says, Enayim Lehem Lo Yiru. All these idols have eyes and they don't see. Uvelakeinu Ksiv, Ein Hashem Hema Meshaitim Chalorez. In other words, our God is not just, it's a God, but he was able to create the world, and he's able to control the world, and he sees what's going on. This is a child answering back philosophical answers to this melech, to this kesav, to this governor, this Greek governor. So the king asks him, Amleis, he tells him, Im yesh boi kolamidoi salolu velokechem. If you tell me your God is so great, and he has all these wonderful qualities, why is he not saving you from me? If you say he's such a great God, why is he not saving you? Just like he saved Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah from Nebuchadnezzar. Amalei, so listen what his child answered him, and that's why I brought it down. Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, Ksherim hoyu, Unuvech, and Nebuchadnezzar, Melech Hogan hoyu. Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah were great people, they were tzaddikim. And Nebuchadnezzar was a great king, he was a powerful, all-powerful king of the world. Lasa, Nesel Yoda, because Baruch Hu wanted to create a miracle through him. Aval ato ein chahogun. But who are you? You are a nobody, sach hakol. Va'anun is chayavnu misa l'shamayim. And we're not on the level of Hananiah, Mishael, v'Azariah. We are deserved to be punished. And then he says, im ein ato hogenu. So this child tells the king, if you are not going to kill me now, it don't make a difference. How behogim yesh lamokim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu will get me in another way. Habedubim, there are bears out there. Habezevim, there are wolves. Varayas, lions, nechoshim, nemorim, vakravim. Shivku bonav argenu. It's my turn to go anyway. So if you're not going to get me, I'll get killed in a car accident, he tells this king. Look at the havana, you know, what the emuna, what a child has. And that's such a, you know, it's such a good way of looking at things. You know, people say, oh, terrible, if this wouldn't have happened, he would have lived. Wouldn't have lived. Because Baruch Hu would have gotten the person another way. If a person's time comes, you know, that's when it's nigzar on a person. And there's nothing much he can do. Yes, he can daven, but if it doesn't work, it doesn't work. So you think that person's to blame? He's just a shliach of a Kadosh Baruch Hu. How be shluchim yesh lamokan. Elo, be yishino, he tells him. V'soiv HaKadosh Baruch Hu, asa diporem mimcha es domenu. But at the end, since you are the shliach, you're going to get punished as well. Miad gazal av lahogai, the king, after this whole philosophical thing back and forth, so he made the decree that he should get killed. Look at number 4c. Amu la'imo, so the mother says, b'chaye roishcha keso, he swore by the keso, t'noz b'ni, give me my son, v'achapkeyu v'anashkeyu, so I can hug him, and I can kiss him. So nasnu lo, so they gave the child to the mother. V'yitzio lo dodo, so she pulled out her breast, v'nikasa cholev, and she started nursing him. He was a young child. Amulai, she said, b'chaye roishcha keso, she, you know, I swear by the king, first kill me, and then kill this child. I don't want to see how you take away my youngest child. No, I'm not listening to you. Because it says in your Torah, after all, it says you may not kill a mother and a mother cow or a mother a sheep and its child the same day. And if I'm going to kill the child today, I cannot kill you. And therefore, no. You are going to live. This child is going to die. Miyad, Amulai, so she told this king, Shaita Shabailam, Kva Kiyamta Kala Mitzvahs, Elazub Bilvad, you worried about this mitzvah, every other mitzvah you did, but this mitzvah, Isa Shabalai, Isishla Beyucha, that you're holding on to? Miyad Tivalav Lahogai, he decreed that she get killed. Nof Laim, Alayimayalav, and the mother held the child. And she would kiss him and hug him. And she told him a famous Gemara, Bini, my son, when you come up to Shemayim, go to Avraham Avinu and tell him, this is what my mother said, don't hold yourself high. Tell Avraham Avinu, don't consider yourself so great. And say, that I made him Mizbeach and I did the Akedah, I put my son Yitzchak on the Akedah. Our mother, Bonsa Shiva Mizbachai, she put 7 Mizbeachs. Ve'elso Shiva Bonim Yamechot. And she sacrificed 7 children in one day. Atta Nisoyin, but it was only a test. Vani Maisa. And by me, my mother, it was for real. She sacrificed 7 of her children on the same day. And she held him and she kissed him and she hugged him. Gaza her love. And then the decree came, Vahagu Aleo. And they killed this child from the mother's arms. And once he was killed, Shiaru Chachom Mishnoisov. Chachomim, they guessed or they figured out how old he was. Shalois Atinok, how old this child was that had such a discussion with the king. Nimtze, how old was he, Mati? Ben Shtei Shonim, Vishisha Chadashim, Vishesh Shoiz Amach Mechza. 2.5 years old. I don't know the significance of 2 and 6 and 6.5 hours, but he was exactly 2.5 years old. These were the 2.5-year-old kids living at that time in Eretz Yisrael. So when we understand that so many Jews sacrificed themselves because they were saturated with Torah for the last 150 years, basically uninterrupted, right? They had the Shimon HaTzadik, and then they had Antignus Yisoichai, and they had Yosef ben Yezer and Yeshua ben Prat. They had all these, Yosef ben Yezer and Yosef ben Tzedo. They had all these, you know, Zugais, the Gedolim, and great people, and there's so much Torah going throughout the land. Even a 2.5-year-old kid knew all this. He had the Emunah, and he knew these Pesukim and everything. It wasn't a Chiddush that, you know, it was so saturated in them, they didn't just take it and said, okay, we're not keeping a Yiddishkeit and that's it. And we're closing up shop and we're going into the gymnasium, we're following the Greek way of life. It was so ingrained in them, it was met with a lot of opposition. By the end of the story, by the way, number D, 4D, Lachiyomim Nishtatis Ais Isha, after a while this woman became crazy, right? She went nuts, she went crazy, Benoflam in a gag, and she fell off the roof, Umesa, and she died, Lachai Mashnema, Umlala Yeleda Shiva, this poor woman. She gave birth to 7 of her children got killed. Uvaskol Yetzer Vemeres, Ema Vanus Mecha, Vuach Kodesh, Vemach Vemeres, Aleila Nibrachia, etc., etc. So this is a story of Hannah, or Miriam, Bas Nachtem, with her 7 children. According to Sefer Chashmonaim, this took place during the decrees of the Yevonim. I think it sheds us light what the general, what the prevailing attitude of the people in that time period was. They were ready to sacrifice themselves en masse for Torah and for Yiddishkeit. Now let's look at the last story, the story in Josephus. He brings like this, that the king's Antiochus's soldiers were going on a patrol and they passed by Baderech Bamora Achas, and they passed by a cave on the road. So Im or Ami Yehuda, a cave in Yehuda, Ke'elef Ish. There were 1,000 people hidden in that cave. Remember we said last week that they escaped from Yerushalayim because the soldiers were over there and started taking over Yerushalayim, and people started escaping to the countryside, different places where they can keep the Yiddishkeit. So they were hiding in this cave, 1,000 Jews with women and children. It was Shabbos, and they were keeping Shabbos in this cave. And the soldiers came on the cave. And they told them, "Tzupoi, get out! V'chilulu es Shabbos. You know, be mechal Shabbos. V'asu es mitzvah samelech. V'chayu v'loy samusa. And you'll live and you won't die." V'yanu, and they answered him, "Loy neitzei v'loy nechalul es Shabbos. We will not go out and we will refuse to be mechal Shabbos. Ke'edim aleinu ayoyem hashemayim v'oretz. Shak shek ashe gibalnu b'sina lekayim mitzvahs teraseinu. That we accepted upon ourselves, we're going to keep the Torah." Vato, if you want to kill us, hamisunu, kilo nasa mitzvos malkechem. We refuse to listen to your king. Vayitzav polipus veyichusu etzim mehal, and they took wood from around, from the mountains around. Vayivim al pi amore, they put it in the entrance of the cave. Vayidu bem esh vatoshen amore prima vayamosuk musuk kulam vaoshon, and they all got killed. They all got burnt alive in that cave. That's a fascinating thing. He had 1,000 Jews over there. Now, one of the questions they asked, I saw one of the books ask, why didn't they fight? Well, number one, they couldn't fight. They had no arms, they had no weapons, they had nothing. They had this army, this Greek soldiers, you know, Greek army outside. They couldn't fight. Why wouldn't it just be Mechal Shabbos? After all, Pikuach Nefesh is Deche Shabbos. Yeah, but it's Shas Hashmad. And Shas Hashmad, they understood that if they're not going to keep Torah and Mitzvahs, then nobody will, and entire Yiddishkeit will be lost. And we see from these three stories, from Elazar, the old man who rather be get killed than he trafe 1,000 people together in the Mara, said they literally got burnt alive, and Hannah with the 7 children, or Miriam with the 7 children, how the prevailing attitude at that time is we are going to en masse sacrifices. We discussed last week This is really the first time in our history the Jews were meisen nefesh for Torah and Yiddishkeit. They had to sacrifice themselves not to give up Torah and mitzvahs. Nowhere else did we find something. That was the beginning, you know, for all the future generations. Where did we get it from? It was ready from the time of the Greeks. The Greeks was lashkicham teyosechom ulaviram mechukir esenechom. It wasn't to kill them. It wasn't to wipe them out. It wasn't to take them away from the land. It wasn't to take away their independence. It was simply lashkicham teyosechom ulaviram mechukir esenechom. And the Jews came through. They were moshe nefesh. Now, this continued for a couple of years. I think it went on for about 2-3 years that the Karban Tamid was cancelled and the Karbanas stopped being, you know, Karbanas being brought in the Beis HaMikdash and literally Jews were being rounded up trying to keep the Yiddishkeit. At that time, look at Sefer Chashmonaim, the way they introduce the Chashmonaim. By Yom HaMohem, at that time, Hayah Kohen b'Yisrael, there was a Kohen in Israel, Ushmoy Matisyo ben Yechanan, ben Shimon, his name was Matisyo, the son of Yechanan, the son of Shimon, Bibnei Yehoyariv Yerushalayim. Vu Yoshe Bahar Modin. In other words, they lived in Modin, which is part of the Ore Yehuda, Judea, Modin, where the rabbi is today probably, and his name was Matisyo ben Yechanan, and he was from the Yehoyariv. Yehoyariv was one of the 24 Mishmarais Kohuna, right? Yehoyariv. No. Now, in Alanisim we say, be made Matisyo ben Yochanan Kohen Gadol. Now, it doesn't seem that he was, I mean, based on what we know, right? We know who the Kohanim Gadolim were, right? It was Shimon HaTzadik, and it was his son, and it was his grandson, and it was his nephew, and it was Elazar, and it was Jason, and it was Menelaus. There was no Matisyo ben Yochanan and Shimon Kohen Gadol. So what they say is, when it says Matisyo ben Yochanan Kohen Gadol, means he was a great Kohen. He was a very important family in from the Kohanim, Matisyo ben Yochanan Kohen Gadol, a great Kohen. But he was not a Kohen Gadol. Matisyo was not a Kohen Gadol. His father was not a Kohen Gadol. He was just from a very chashuv family, Bibnei Yoyogiv.
He wasn't Kohen Gadol after they
won? Do you know what you learned tonight? You learned tonight, he lived 1 year. He never made it to the Hanukkah story.
I know most of them did.
Matisyo,
one of the four brothers made it.
Matisyo never made it to the Hanukkah story. He just started the whole thing. It's all named after him. It's Bimei Matisyo Yechanan. He never made a chanukah. He lived 1 year, and then he died. And they buried him, and his sons carried on the wound. 3 years later, they...
You didn't either,
exactly. So Matisyo did not become a chanukah after this, because he didn't live till the chanukah story. But he started it. Look at the way the Sefer Chashmonai brings it. So there was this great kohen in Yisrael, kohen gol, a great kohen, Matisyo, and Vayilu Chamisha Bonim, Vayilu Shmoisim, he had five sons. These were the names, Yechanan Akachi. Each one had a, you know, nickname. Yechanan Akachi, Shimon Atasi, Yehuda Hamakabi. Hamakabi, I think, means a brave one, right? Or the warrior. Elazar Acharoni, Vayonis, and Avopsi. These were the five sons. By the way, we know he had a daughter also. We know at least he had one daughter, because one of the stories which broke the camel's back is look in number 6b or 7b. Uvas achas hoyselamatz in Megillas Tainis. Uvas achas hoyselamatz yobin kengol. She had one daughter. Matzio had one daughter. Ukshigias manalinase. When her turn came to get married, bohakisterin. So this Greek, you know, legionnaire came letamo to take her to defile her before the marriage, because that was the takon at that time. And they didn't let her. The brothers didn't let. Matisyo didn't let. The Kanu Matisyo Ubanov, the Gavra Yadav Malchizovon, and they became Kanoim, and they refused to give up their sister. And Vnimsu Biyadav Mahogum Vasyam Shabidlu Masyamdav, etc., etc. And the whole Chanukah story. And they went and they prevailed over the enemies and they killed out the Greeks, etc., etc. But we know that they had a daughter, right? Matisyo had one daughter who they tried to defile, and he did not let. So we see on the one hand, we see that Matisyo was the type of person that he saw these things. He says, I can't do this. And we're going to see another story as well. He saw these terrible things which were taking place, right? That, in other words, he had a kanos. A kanos was like on the spur of the moment. His daughter was going to be taken. They didn't let. Kanos. Or we find another story. If you look in 8a and 8b, we're going to get to that soon. But basically, you know, it was something that he saw things which he didn't like. He brought a kanos in him, and he tried to stop it. Besides that, but before all that, it was Matisyo. It bothered him tremendously, everything that was going on. Look in 6, In Sefer HaShemnoim, Potsakei, V'yam Matasioes at Ta'evas Hashem Yehuda V'Yushalayim, he saw these terrible things that were going on in Yehuda and Yushalayim, and the idols, and the swines, and the chazer, and the gymnasiums, V'yikain and V'yam, and it bothered him, Oili Kinalanati, how can I be born, Lachzis, to see, as Shever Ami, to see the brokenness of my nation, V'kiryak Doisho B'devenei Necho, and this beautiful city, Yushalayim, in the hands of all these heathens, Migdash Eloka B'chavzorim, the Beis HaMikdash, in the hands of strangers, V'echoloi L'zorek Ishcherem, Kol Machmudov, all the beauties, Nehlochu disappeared, Oilelim B'chutzes Nechnoku, U'mifcha B'churim L'tevach U'valu. In other words, it bothered him, from an emotional point of view. He said, this is, you know, what kind of society are we living in? The beautiful Beis HaMikdash, when he was with Mnei Yoyarov, he was from the most chashuv families that served in the Beis HaMikdash, and he saw all these things were taking place, he couldn't take it. That's one thing which led him. In other words, he couldn't see this terrible bizayon and the defilement of the Kedusha of Eretz Yisrael. Then there were the individual stories as well, that he had also kanos in him, and when he saw something terrible happen, he went out and he did something about it. There was the zealousness in him as well. But before he had the zealousness, first it bothered him. He couldn't see. He said, this is terrible, what's going on? And the other people maybe also saw it, but by him, it bothered him, and he did something about it. The uniqueness about the Chashmonaim is, number one, that they were, you know, aware of what was going on, and rather than just, you know, we have no choice, we moisten efforts for our Torah and for our mitzvahs, but he also, it bothered him, and it hurt him, that he saw what was going on, combined with the fact that he was a kanoi, and he had zealousness, and we see, he compares himself almost to Pinchas, right, that he had this kanos in him, and when something terrible happened, he went and he sprung into action. That's the kanos of Pinchas, and that's the same kanos which you find by Matisyahu, Kohen Gadol. These were the two parts of Matisyahu, which were part of his character, and then he was able to do something about it, and he led a whole movement. But those were the two parts of what brought him basically to fight against the Greeks. Number one, he saw the terrible travesty which was going on, the defilement of the Beis HaMikdash and of the laws and everything which was going on around him. And number two, at the same time when things were going, he saw something which he didn't like, he sprung into action like a kanoi. These were what Matzio was about. Now, before we get to that, what's the name? They're called the Chashmonaim. What does Chashmonaim stand for? Mati, you know what Chashmonaim means? What's Chashmonaim? What is Chashmonaim? They were from Madiin, right? What's Chashmonaim stand for? So Chashmonaim really only means, you know, important, gedolim, great people. The Pasuk says in Tehillim, Yesoyu Chashmanim, mini Mitzrayim, that the gedolim, the great people will come from Mitzrayim, El Kush, Toritz Yodov, Lelokim. And the Kushim, they will spread out their hands to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Chashmanim is just a word for VIPs, very chashuva, important people, gedolim. So they called the Chashmonaim because they were great people in that time. That's where the name comes from, Chashmonaim. They were not Chashmonaim. Their last name wasn't Chashmonaim. They were from Bnei Yehoyariv, right? He was Matisyahu, Ben Yechanan, Ben Shimon, Kohen. He was a Kohen, right? Bnei Yehoyariv. They were called Chashmonaim. Chashmonaim simply means gedolim. Great people because they were great people in the time. What?
When did that name stick?
Not But it's probably afterwards, yes. Right, they called themselves. No, they didn't. Just Yehuda was called the Maccabee. Right, Yehuda was called the Maccabee, and his followers, you know, they joined him, they were the Maccabee. But the name Chashmonaim was probably only afterwards. Because they were the great ones in their generation.
They weren't called Chashmonaim in the war?
I don't think we see it like that.
I wasn't sure if it was picked up afterwards when they
were. The whole story was obviously picked up afterwards. It was all fabricated. Because Matisyo was only alive for a year, and meanwhile everyone thinks that he was around the whole time. The whole name of the Maccabim, all this is all contrived.
It's not contrived. He was called Yehuda Maccabee in his lifetime. Yehuda was called Yehuda Maccabee.
They were called the Maccabim.
No, they weren't called the Maccabim. No, they weren't called the Maccabim. No. But there were people that followed them. I don't know what they were called. Well, let's look inside and we'll see. The king, the Chashmonaim kingdom.
Right.
Could be, but not in the Chorin, not in time of Matisyahu.
Yeah. That's why I thought that they started.
But first, you know what the translation means. And they didn't give themselves a name, Chashmonaim. Probably afterwards, they were called, people called them, they were the Chashmanim, meaning they were the great ones. You know, they're the ones who stood out. Because at the end of the day, they drove out the Greeks, and they they had independence, not just independence, but they were in charge for almost 200 years, 150 years, that family was in charge. So they were the great ones. You know, it started with Matisyahu Kohen Gadol. Matisyahu the great Kohen, let's call him Matisyahu Kohen Gadol, Matisyahu the great Kohen. He started everything, and what he did was, more than anything, it bothered him, and that's very clear in Sefer Chashmonaim, it bothered him, the Chilul Hashem, Hakir Yakadosh, B'David Nei Necho, all these terrible decrees, that bothered him, the Yiddish guy bothered him. Yeah, it bothered a lot of people. Him, it took it very much to heart. And he also had the kanois in him. Because look at number 8. Josephus, the way he describes it. Right? And we know Josephus, Sefer Yosefus number 8. By he, and it was, Kiroisoi, when he saw, Es Shever Yisrael Vesarosoi. When he saw the Jews were broken, and the tzoris, Vaikane Lashem Elokei Yisrael. And he was zealous for HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Vayef, Vayem, and he said, Oi li imi, Ki yiladitoni, right? The same words, by the way, that's from Sefer Chashmonaim. That's where Josephus got it from. Liroyse shever ami, v'niflesi, v'nafalti v'layuchal kum. Gotta do something about it. What did he do? What is the first thing he did? Vayishalach es Yehuda b'noi, b'chol ore Yehuda b'seis elaymar. So first, he went and he sent Yehuda, his son, to all the different cities around Judea. Mi b'chem yirei Hashem. Who is gonna fear HaKadosh Baruch Hu mi l'Hashem elai? In other words, he inspired the masses to come and follow and said, this is terrible, this can't go on anymore. So the Hasidim, they joined him. And they joined him, and they came back to Matisyahu. They were living then in the caves around Modi'in. Matisyahu told them, Shalom bo'achem, ma'alon o'od la'arbois dvorim ve'etzois, ve'ein poi, kim l'spalel l'alokim, l'shir shir zeni, we gotta daven, we gotta do something about it. And now, besides davening, chizku v'nischazka b'mulchama, v'nomus b'mulchama k'anoshim, we're going to die in the war, v'anomus k'tzayin l'tevach yuval. Here people are getting slaughtered, they want to be moist nefesh from Yiddish guys, it's wonderful, it's good, and they have no choice. But at least, let's try and do something about it. Now that he's the one who inspired the people, not just to, that it bothered them, but to come and do something. V'yischazka kulam al divrei matzio, and they all gathered around matzio. Now, the Greeks understood what was going on. They had soldiers all over the place. They saw this. They saw there was a whole mass movement, a grassroots movement around Matisyahu. So they decided we gotta stop this in its inception. So look at number 8a. Vayikadmon Matisyahu HaKohen. And they went to Matisyahu the Kohen, Hifkid, Hapokit, Polypus, Vesoria Melech Antiochus. So the governor, or the one in charge, Polypus, and a whole bunch of his generals. Vidivrei Sholim. You know, peacefully, Lemur. Shmano Matisyahu HaKohen. Ato ish nichbad ba'amecha. You are a very honored man. Asei es mitzvos antiochus. V'tichi v'loi tomus. Now listen to us and you won't have a problem. V'yan Matisyahu v'goy v'libay v'yema. And Matisyahu answered, he said, Ani es mitzvos malki ani yoyse. V'atem asu es mitzvos malkechem kasha tivetem. You listen to your king. I'm going to listen to my king. So v'avilu, what they do, anyway, so they said, well, that's basically how we answered to them. So look in 8b. Vayan echad mayudim, one of the Jews, the Hellenized Jews, haparitzim ubnei Abliyal, answered, Ashahoyum sarei melech vayoymal, that was together with the king, with the king's soldiers, and he said, Tomani moed misarei melech umecheloy. I'm shocked at the king's generals and the king's soldiers. Admotei tachish lematisyo. Why do you let this man talk? Why are we quiet when he talks? You know, he gives us such an answer, he listens to his king. Why are we keeping quiet? Let's do something. There were those Jews, I mean, don't get me wrong, there were those Hellenized Jews that were either on the fence or openly together with the Greeks. So they said, you know, Matisyahu answers, who do you think he is? He's just a regular person, so he's a very important person. But that's why he let him talk to us? And when he spoke like this, he took out his sword, he chopped off the head of his swine. And he took it, he takes the head of the swine, and he goes and he sacrifices it on one of the mizbeachs. Remember we said they put in every city, every village, they put a mizbeach. So they went, he took the head of the swine, and he puts it on the mizbeach. And he goes and he does have a desire right over here in front of Matisyahu. And he brings in the Mizbeach, and Matisyahu And Matzio sees this, looks, and he sees. So remember we said that Matzio, besides the fact that it bothered him, he was also had a something in him that he was a kanoi, like Pinchas. He saw a travesty occur like this in front of his eye, he couldn't stop it. He had to stop it. V'yam Matzio is masya poritz, v'yikane lelokov, v'yikzoi, v'tivok b'chamos, he got angry, v'yish lefchav, he took out his sword, v'yidalek al mizbeach hu, and he went, jumped onto the mizbeach, v'yakes haporitz b'chalba atzavorov, and he killed this person that did it, right? This Hellenized Jew, he killed him. And he picked up his head. That was Matzio's answer. He takes the head of this person he just chopped off and he presents it to this king, to this general that tried to speak to Matzio. In other words, he burnt, this person got burnt together with the pig on this mizbeach for Antiochus. Now, and Matzio wasn't finished. And this general that was standing over there, Shosa Matzio b'chaboy. Matzio killed him with his sword. Others either ran away or he's able to kill them. And others, Matzio didn't stop just over there. And he blew a shofar. He said, come together with me. This is this great Matzio. So Matzio, besides the fact that it bothered him, and he saw these terrible things, but he was like Pinchas. He saw something. No, not just did something about it. He couldn't hold himself back. He saw this terrible event. I'm putting his arm in front of me. Boom. He went. That's what a kanoi is. A kanoi. If you have to think about it already, you're not a kanoi. I mean, if it's in the heat of the moment, you see, I can't see this. That means it really bothers you. You know, you don't think twice. You don't think about the consequences. That is the kanos, or the same kanos of Pinchas that we see. He compares himself almost to it, because we're going to soon see what he's going to say, number 8c, but that basically led the whole movement. So first he sent Yehuda, then he told the people, this terrible travesty, we have to do something about it. So they all gathered around him, and then they try to make a public spectacle of Matzio himself, and not only he doesn't let them, but he goes out and he jumps into kanos, and he starts the whole thing. He said, basically, this was the straw which broke the camel's back. Yes. Right. What do you mean? Right. In other words, it's not Matzio. It wasn't a Kohen Gadol. Matzio HaKohen HaGadol, the great one. Chash Moinoi, which means the great one. Now, and then, you know, then they started all these guerrilla type of warfare, and Matzio and his sons, they started going and attacking the Greeks, and started driving them out slowly by from the older various villages they were in. They didn't stop at that. Look at number 80. I just want to finish with this. Vayetzi Matzio mevtorov, and Matzio came out from his hiding place, from these caves, openly, uvanav chamishimah, with his five sons, v'imam edom mechasidim hagdoilam oid, and it was a large group of people who he inspired to join him. And they left the mountain, and they went, and they killed out the Hellenized Jews, and the soldiers. Sorry to put it, Boretz. In other words, not only they killed out the Hellenized Jews, and they drove them out, and had guerrilla warfare to drive out these Greek soldiers stationed throughout the country in all the various cities, but as soon as they came into the city, they said, okay, everybody has to have a bris milah. In other words, they inspired people to go back openly, you know, not to be afraid anymore of the Greeks. They basically forced them to keep back the Torah and the mitzvahs and to do the bris milah. Don't forget, many people didn't do a bris milah because it was punishable by death. So the second they took over a little village, they said, okay, nobody has to do a bris milah. They almost forced everybody to go back and to continue with the ways of Torah and mitzvahs. Now, the reason why the Greeks, next week we're going to see much more, because this is just literally the beginning. This went on for 30 years. These Hasmonean wars, the wars against the Greeks, went on and on because it was really guerrilla warfare. So they maybe retreated from a little village and then they came back. The Greeks also, you know, they didn't put their main army in Judea, because at that time already they were fighting the Romans, which was on the Eastern Front. It was this big empire, the Seleucid Empire. They couldn't be busy putting all the forces in Judea, so they had, you know, had on the Eastern Front, in different areas, that they had to fight the battles. In the beginning, at least, the way they drove them out, it was like guerrilla warfare, so they drove them out from village to village, and as soon as they came into a village and the Greeks left, they right away made milah to everybody. So that was in the beginning where Matzio inspired everybody. Look at the end, by number 8c, by the star. Vayikrevu yimei Matzio lomus, and Matzio was dying. It was a year later. He was an old man. He was in his 60s. Vikol Chamesh Bonim, he called his five sons together. And he strengthened him and he told him, Beni, Ani Yadati, I know, Ki Ata Yizgu Mechomet Gedoyles Benechem. You should know there'll be great wars going on. Because we stood up. In other words, I basically caused this. I led a whole revolution uprising. I know it's going to get worse before it's going to get good. There'll be a lot of wars. Don't be scared of death. Because if you die in this jihad, so to speak, in the Muhammad Vachid Bokhul Avdil, you'll get your rewards. Because all our forefathers, right, going back to Pinchas, their zealousness was for Kadosh Baruch Hu. You should know. He makes a comparison himself. Because he had a kanos and he saw these terrible things going on, he did something about it, the zealousness. In other words, we are from Aaron HaKohen, and we are from Pinchas, we are from the Kuna, from Pinchas, this is our forefather, and we are following in the same things. In other words, it wasn't just that it bothered him terribly, and he saw the Sheva Basami, but he had that Kanos in himself as well, and he literally inspired the people to go and follow him. We find that he dies, literally a year after the story happens, he dies. And his son takes over. He says, Yehuda should be the warrior, Shimon should be the advisor, and that's where it starts. And then next week we're going to see more about the battles of the Chashmonaim, until they're actually able to drive the Greeks out of Yerushalayim as well, and that's where the Hanukkah story takes place. But it's another 2 years until the Hanukkah story takes place. It was inspired by Matzio. So when we read in the Alanisim, Bimei Matzio ben Yochanan Kargo, it doesn't mean that the whole Hanukkah story happened in the time of Matzio. It happened after the time of Matzio, because Matzio was nifted already 2 years before the Hanukkah story. Okay.